Hello, and welcome back to Radio 74. I'm Mario the Artisan Rogue. So, let's get to the nitty-gritty on this. As I was looking today, of course, I've been keeping my distance for the most part on things like social media and stuff like that. Because, you know, I've been trying to keep kind of a low profile when it comes to watching to see what other people are talking about, all this other sort of stuff. Because, you know, we're still in the midst of a whole election cycle and this sort of thing. So, I usually, whenever that sort of thing happens, I'll go ahead and take a step back, and I like to indulge myself with whatever fantasy, fiction sort of stuff out there I can get that's non-politically aligned. So, in this case, it's my new favorite thing, which is probably the same sort of thing it might be for you, even if you're not necessarily a Star Wars fan, but it would be The Mandalorian. The show is amazing. I've loved every bit of it, all the episodes I've seen. So far, I thought season 2 was off to a great start, and so I'm going to go ahead and put this out there. This is not normally the sort of thing that I cover, but I'm going to go ahead and say this now. Spoiler alert, if you've not seen the second season, if you've not even seen anything within The Mandalorian so far as a series, I'm going to be talking about a few of those things right now. So the first thing I want to talk about, and this is, so it is going to go a little bit into the art as well as just in general, public perception and how it can affect how artistic decisions or artistic output can be redirected in a way that I don't believe was ever the original intent. Baby Yoda, he has recently, as I've seen on Twitter, there's a small but growing amount of people that, through the whole concept of cancel culture, are saying that Baby Yoda needs to be held accountable for this genocide that he was doing. And what it was there was a lizard creature, a lizard alien, who was trying to get her eggs to a safe place. I thought it was pretty morbid humor, but that's sort of in my wheelhouse. I tend to like stuff like that. I'm a huge fan of, you know, some of the stuff that happens on Family Guy or especially South Park. And there's a lot of like darker humor in like some horror movies and stuff like that that I really find funny. This was pretty far removed from anything so ribald as anything that you'd find in those. Baby Yoda would continually get into the canister where the eggs were and would eat a few of them, even to the point to where the episode ends with him sucking one more down. I knew that there would probably be some people upset about that, but now there's been all these crazy theories like, oh no, he wasn't actually eating the eggs. He was keeping them safe inside of him. It's been established in the show that he favors, you know, he really does go after amphibians. He's eaten frogs, all these sort of things. And as some people have brought up, the real Yoda, the one that we first met in Empire Strikes Back, lived on a primarily swamp-like planet, Dagobah. Pretty sure he was the apex predator there. I'm certain you guys have seen the meme. The reason I'm bringing all of this up is not to argue on any kind of fan point about Star Wars. It's simply this. It's crazy. And so let me read something that I saw online here, just so you guys kind of get where I'm coming from on this. There was a person that was saying, in fact, that they need that, you know, people needed to start holding the character of Baby Yoda accountable. It says, "We have to reiterate, that doesn't make it better. This creature still has a limited number of viable eggs to bring to her husband for fertilization. If none of them had made it, as was the whole point of the excursion, her line would be no more. The intentionally disturbing quality of the baby's egg pilfering becomes more disconcerting the more you sit with it because of what it says about the Mandalorian. Baby Yoda might really have just inhaled an endangered woman's eggs like they were chicken nuggets as the writer's idea of a joke, or this entire production is just a misdirect leading up to a moment later in the season when the baby miraculously vomits the eggs up when the frog lady desperately needs them. Either way, it's keeping Star Wars gross and weird." You know, that kind of a comment can go either way. You know, I understand where on one side they're saying, well, this is how I feel about it, and this is what I think is going on. And it's a lot of fan, you know, kind of circumstancing where they're going, well, I don't know, maybe this is what's going to happen. And like with anything popular, you're going to have its ups and its downs going on with that sort of stuff. I think the biggest thing that I take from this is that I can draw a parallel to what happened with the Sonic movie, which is actually the last movie that I saw in theaters with a fairly good size of people before COVID-19 hit. The thing I got from that was, now I have to preface this by saying I am a lifelong Sega fanatic. My very first system was the Sega Master System. Indelibly, you know, that's left a mark on a lot of people like myself and other people that remember Sonic, you know, for better or for worse, as being this incredible blue speedster. When I first heard they were coming out with a movie about him, I was hoping beyond hope that it was going to be 100% animated, CGI, hand-drawn. I didn't care. I just wanted it to only be animated. After I found out that they had a few people that were going to be live actors in there, I thought, okay, well, maybe it'll be a mix. Maybe it's going to be something like what the Smurfs movies have been or something like that. Either way, I wasn't really looking forward to it. Fast forward, and the first time that I remember seeing the design for Sonic, in my mind, I was like, oh no, oh no, something's gone horribly wrong here. I have to take a moment to say this. I know that in general, most geeky people, especially guys, get a pretty bad rap about this, and deservedly so. You can get a lot of fans that can be overbearing, blunt, and just completely and totally antagonistic about things. I mean, you see it happen in the Rick and Morty fandom. You see it happen in a lot of different fandoms whenever things don't necessarily go the way that the fans believe that it should. Much to the chagrin, I would imagine, of a lot of the creators out there. Dan Harmon is one who's often said, you know, it's kind of jacked up how messed up the fandoms can be, you know, which on one side is a pretty horrible thing to hear, not because he's incorrect, but because, you know, I even balk at the fact whenever I see fans really going nuts over something and getting mad about it. But in this circumstance with the Sonic movie, now granted, this is all history now. The movie came out, it did pretty well, and a lot of the fans were way happier with what ended up happening because there was such a large amount of displeasure over what the initial design of Sonic the Hedgehog was like that the production company, the effects company, everybody had to kind of take a step back and they redid parts of the movie that had Sonic in it. They redesigned him. He became this amalgamation of the character versions that had been on there and something that was truer to what we wanted. Now, I'm going to be completely forward on this. I didn't really jump on the bandwagon. I just assumed, well, you know, this is what we have. And everybody knows that whenever you have movie renditions of video games, they rarely do very well. Tomb Raider might be one, the original one that came out. I can think maybe the first two Resident Evil movies might be passable as movies, not necessarily representative of the Resident Evil series. You know, aside from that, there really hasn't been a whole bunch, but Sonic was definitely one of the ones that I felt like, okay, this one, if they change the design, will really work. Now, the other part of that, too, was the fact that there were some other good things that came out of there. Jim Carrey's take on Dr. Robotnik, you know, Eggman, is absolutely stunningly well done. You can tell that Carrey was absolutely having a blast portraying this character. Now, I don't know how familiar he was with him or anything, but that certainly lent a lot to the goodwill of repairing what damage the studio had done in releasing this early version of Sonic. Now, I'm digressing here, but the reason I'm saying all this is because all of this came together with Sonic coming back out and looking and acting and being a certain way that we remembered. It was far more palatable. It was accepted by the fandom, and the movie went on to do very well, all things considered. The Mandalorian for Disney, the old joke is that basically the actor that portrays Boba Fett, you know, it was something of a joke like, you know, did you hear what happened to him? You know, like, I hope he's okay. And, you know, somebody else will be like, oh my God, what happened? He goes, well, you know, he hurt his back. What? How? How did he hurt his back? You know, from carrying the entire Star Wars universe on it. And the truth is that the Mandalorian is the most exciting thing I've seen come out of the Star Wars universe in recent years. I actually don't mind the last couple of movies that came out. I think they're a little all over the place, and I was always somebody who supported George Lucas in this. But The Mandalorian, thanks to, you know, Favreau and Filoni, has managed to carve its way back into the hearts of a lot of Star Wars fans. It's become exciting again. It's very much, you know, sci-fi fantasy western that works. It's episodic. You get to understand the characters more. You get to delve into them more. Now, the weird thing about that is that we still don't really know that much more about quote unquote Baby Yoda than we did in the very first episode he's revealed. We know that he has a penchant for eating amphibians. We know that he can be a bit of a rapscallion. He likes to get into trouble. He's mind-numbingly cute. He's a phenomenal little character in the fact that there seems to be a lot of promise and possibly a large storyline lined up for him. Because of that, I think that it's one of those things where people begin, like, I worried a little bit whenever the character came out and so much was made of him. You know, immediately people were like, oh my God, he's a clone. Oh my God, he's Yoda reborn. He's going to be the next Jedi that we'll be seeing all these other things. You know, nothing has really come forward on any of that sort of thing. You know, nothing about midichlorians, nothing like that. But what has come forward is the incredible marketing push that happened immediately after that first episode when he was revealed. And I know people that aren't even Star Wars fans that have Baby Yoda t-shirts or a little pop vinyl or something along that line. It's insane how popular he's become. Now, with popularity becomes one of those things, you can become so popular that people have these assumptions and these ideas in their head where they think that the character should go, should act, should be like all these sort of things. I honestly found it hilarious when he was eating the eggs. I didn't think of it as any sort of right or left wing kind of concept. I didn't think of it as being anything having to do with women's rights. I just didn't think. And maybe that's my own fault. Maybe that's just something I overlooked. I don't know. But I'm simply saying all those things only because that's what I've seen online. I started thinking, I'm like, oh my God, was I not thinking about that the right way? Did I laugh at something that I wasn't supposed to? The more I thought about it, the more I began to understand, like, you know what? I've often tried to stay away from a lot of the uproar that happens out there because it can definitely ruin a fan base. It can ruin a fandom in general. Star Wars is no stranger to this. These last three movies have been, at best, polarizing, especially the eighth one. And because of that, you know, it's one of those things it was really hard to wrap my head around that. And I kept thinking, I was like, as a creative person, if I had put a book out, if I had put a story out, and somebody, you know, anybody really picked it up, I'm so ecstatic about that, okay? And I anticipate that I would probably hear back from people and go, oh my God, this character was cool, or this character, I didn't like this, or whatever, or your book bored me, whatever. Fine. That's to be expected. But it is something interesting, and I kind of have to go back to another individual, John Lasseter. There's an old interview with him where he talks about how he was at an airport. He saw a young girl. This was, I think, right around the time that Toy Story 2 had come out. And he was, I think, flying back to California, but he noticed a young girl clutching onto a little Woody doll. And it hit him at that point how this was no longer his film. It was no longer Pixar's film. It was everybody's film. It was out there in the domain of the public, not public domain, but in the domain of the public, that people, children, would have adventures with these dolls, create their stories, and continue on and live with the stories that they would put out. And a great many of us grew up with it. I mean, Toy Story, even though I was far older, I mean, I was in college when I saw the first one. Toy Story definitely hit the right notes for me on that. And so I can understand where with John Lasseter, I could relate to him in that because John Lasseter also collects toys and understands all these things about that world. And something from there that transcends over into what I'm talking about with Baby Yoda is that Baby Yoda quickly became this little cute icon. He was this relief that we had. He was this thing that we looked forward to, and he was adorable, and he, you know, laughed about things and all this other stuff. But there was always like a little bit of a darker bit of humor to him. I mean, everyone kind of looks past the fact that at one point in the first season, he's actually riding on the front of a bike with an assassin droid who's literally mowing down and murdering stormtroopers left and right, and the baby's laughing. Now, he's literally watching this assassin droid just murder the hell out of stormtroopers and laughing about it. And I thought, wow, I think a few people might have thought that was just excessive and a little weird, but most people found that pretty funny. Now, I want to put something into perspective here really quickly on this. You know, everyone's horrified that he was eating these eggs. Okay, I get it. But let's just go from a pragmatic, let's go as honest and true as we can with this. Let's treat this fantasy story of Star Wars as if it were a real thing, okay? If we were visited by aliens, if we found an alien race, and they suddenly, let's say you have a pet parrot, and that alien race ate your bird, it isn't because it was trying to be a jerk. It was hungry. This happens in nature. This happens under all kinds of different precedents. It's fantasy, which is even crazier to me. People are getting upset about a story that is intrinsically fantasy. Now, I can understand, and I'm going to put a small caveat on this. I can understand where if you're really invested in a particular story, whether it's the MCU with all the Marvel heroes, or it's Star Wars, or it's Harry Potter, they've all had their criticisms, they've all had their problems, they've all had their issues. I get that. I totally do. But the biggest thing out of this is the fact that this was just a creative decision that was made. They thought it was funny. Some writer somewhere said, what if he, you know, ate an egg a couple times? I mean, it's kind of a morbid joke, but it runs with it. And this little Yoda character has always seemed to have like kind of a little wild streak in him, or he's just accepting of what's happening around him. I mean, the guy's literally hanging around with a bounty hunter. He's hanging around with a guy who has killed people. So he's seen some stuff. The fact that he ate an egg more than a couple times, and I understand these eggs are the last of his species. They're trying to save their line. I get that, okay? It's still just a story. And there's a lot of times whenever I know people are like, oh, what, you don't get mad about things? There's sometimes when I'll see something that I don't necessarily agree with in a particular fandom, but I'll just choose, okay, well, I won't read about that, or maybe I'll like it later or something like that. The exact same sort of vitriol was layered down upon She-Ra recently. The Netflix series is very LGBT friendly. The stylization of it is very Steven Universe. But at its heart, it is a very good show. It's a little on the lighter side of humor. It's a little bit more tongue-in-cheek, and it certainly is a lot more playful. I think the animation is well done. I think it's brilliantly executed. Stylistically, is it something I enjoy? Not necessarily. I mean, I grew up on the original Filmation ones, but Filmation also used a lot of, you know, rotoscoping, and they used the same sort of animation over and over again to basically cut costs. So it wasn't as, very templated. And so because of that, you know, you get a certain look and a certain feel from it, and people like that. And that's fine. You know, I did as well, too. You know, the other thing what struck me was, you know, it made me laugh because I've taught kindergarten. And the first thing I thought of when Baby Yoda put that egg in his mouth was like, oh, my God. It was just like the very first time I ever taught art to a kindergarten class. I was attempting to staple some papers together, and I looked up. And in the front row, just 10 feet from me, were these two boys that I ultimately ended up having to separate. They were the best of buds, but one of them had the other one's arm. He had it with both of his hands, and he had jammed that kid's fist into his own mouth. He's just sitting there chewing on the guy's fist. Like, how he didn't throw up, I don't know, because it was literally down to the wrist. I remember just, like, Get your hand out of his mouth. What are you doing? What are you, you know, and at that age, they're little petri dishes of just infection and germs, and no matter what you try and do. And this is nothing saying that, you know, kids can just be disgusting. If they just can be. I mean, COVID has managed to prove that a lot of adults are too. But so you should take that into consideration. Before you want to start throwing rocks, take a good look at what's around you. Like, we're sitting here, or people at least that are criticizing Baby Yoda on this, which I find hilarious. And the only reason I'm getting on the soapbox for this moment is because they're the first ones that are willing to say, oh, well, he should know better. And how dare they make a joke about that? Your human children will put anything in their mouths. I want you to go talk to any pediatricians. They will probably go, man, Baby Yoda is fine. If he's eating eggs, it's because he was hungry. That's actually not bad for what he's doing. He likes to eat frogs. He wanted to eat baby frogs. Now, your kid that just ate a Lego, I can't explain that. And that's really what it breaks down to, isn't it? That's the whole thing. Just serve up that big old bowl of pasta and enjoy it. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. Actually, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I don't even know why I made that whole analogy about pasta. I'd like to say I'm hungry, but I'm not. A lot of times I am hungry, but I'm not at the moment right now. It's so crazy. I think what it comes down for me is the fact that, like, when I get through going looking at this sort of thing, I keep thinking that we've gone so far beyond driven in that when people are at home and they're just, you know, having time to think about stuff, I think that even entertainment will get overanalyzed and we end up trying to, if something doesn't really work for us, we're under a lot of stress. And I tend to think that because of a lot of the stress, because of a lot of the anxiety and all these other things we got going on, we want to see stuff that probably won't challenge our sensibilities as much, you know? So maybe that's what was going on. Maybe that's what was happening. I'd like to think that that's what it was, because honestly, The Mandalorian is a pretty good show, in my opinion. If it's not your cup of tea, I totally understand that. But the whole thing with Baby Yoda is just one more thing that makes me realize that it is pretty darn, you know, it's always been a gamble to be creative, to be able to put something out there, to write something, draw something, create anything and put it out there and hope that it's going to strike the right notes. I've known many stand-up comedians, and even in the short, tiny time that I tried being a stand-up comedian, you can tell a joke, and it can be funny to you and your friends, but in front of a real audience, if it falls flat, boy, does it fall flat, and there's nothing you can do to save it. I think maybe that's, in this case, it was just circumstantial, where people had their own idea of what Baby Yoda should be, could be, and will be, and then when they see something like that, sometimes you're going to get apologists or people that are a bit more radical in their thinking that are like, well, come on, that's not appropriate and this sort of thing. But at the exact same time, I would say, yeah, but you're attempting to put our human mindset and fragilities and all these other things on what is essentially a high science fiction fantasy character. And it, how do you do that? How do you do that without suddenly ripping down the suspension of disbelief and allowing us to enjoy something like that? Thanks for listening, guys. This was just something I decided. I was actually on the fence, like I am with most of my subjects. But tonight I was like, you know what? That just got to me. I really liked the last episode. I thought it was really well done. And I thought the egg joke was funny, you know. So hopefully we can walk. We can get past that and it'll, you know, go back to being entertaining and, you know, that for a great many people who are upset right now. I get where they're coming from. And as somebody who works in, you know, animal rescue and deals with animal welfare and stuff like that, yeah, it was a little weird. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh, hey. But then after that, I got into it. I'm like, you know, this is a fantasy setting. It's an alien creature who's just trying to eat or maybe save the eggs. We don't know. You know, let the season play out. We'll see what happens. And if it'd be completely different had he just been like jumping up and down on them and smashing the eggs for the fun of it. Anyway, I'll catch you guys in the next podcast.